Good morning, and welcome in to the Cap'n J. Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. We got Charlie, we got Jay Moore, we got you. Still to come, we'll talk to Nick Friedel, who covers the NBA and the NBA playoffs. We'll talk to him at 9:35 right here on ESPN 1000. We're with you till 10 o'clock, and then we'll cross-talk with Black and Abdallah from 10 to noon. Carmen and Yurko from 12 to 2. It'll be Robbie Gold and Sylvie from 2 to 5:30. Robbie's in for Tom Waddle. And then the White Sox baseball, as the Sox take on the Twins, 5:30 pregame, 6:10 first pitch, right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. If you're just joining us, we started the show talking about commitment to winning. Now, for those of you that have listened to me for a long time, you know I'm no different from you. I'm a fan and go to games, live and die with our teams, lifelong Chicagoan. And because I'm a lifelong Chicagoan and a sports fan, you know what that means? That means we haven't seen a lot of championships around here. I'm blessed enough to have lived long enough to see the Blackhawks win 3 Stanley Cups, to see the Bulls win 6 championships, to see my favorite team, the White Sox, be able to win a World Series championship. Something I didn't think I'd see in my lifetime. To see the Cubs win a World Series championship and do the post game right here where we're taking calls for like 4 hours from all over the world, not just all over the city, all over the world. People were calling in after the Cubs won the World Series, and I was blessed enough to be able to do that post game. Saw the Bears as a young age win the Super Bowl in 1985, which was amazing. So I've seen a lot, but haven't seen enough. Because once you do get a taste of a championship, you want to see more. I think that all of us know that the one thing that galvanizes the city is the Chicago Bears. That's when Cubs fans and Sox fans get along. That's where Hawks fans and Bulls fans all can come together and to be able to have one common goal, and that is to see the Bears win a Super Bowl championship. And I think that Cap has had that right for quite a while here, where many times we criticize front offices for Chicago sports teams, and we say, oh, these guys don't want to spend money, or these guys don't care. Well, maybe the don't care part might be true in some instances, but I also think that there are some times where the organizations that we root for don't know how to win. And which is amazing to me, because when you see a team that maybe you don't root for win multiple championships, I mean, there is the blueprint on how they do that. All you have to do is read or ask or be able to talk to owners or talk to other general managers. Hey, how did you build that championship? I mean, if you are Jerry Reinsdorf or Michael Reinsdorf, and yeah, you did see 6 championships, but that seems like it's so far away. You know, to a certain generation, they didn't see Michael Jordan play, or didn't see Michael Jordan play for the Bulls. So I want this generation to be able to enjoy Bulls basketball, Bulls championship basketball. When Joe Lacob of the Golden State Warriors, the owner, says that all I want to do is win, I mean, if Michael Reinsdorf wants to find out, or Jerry Reinsdorf wants to find out, how'd you win? Joe Lacob will tell you.
The truth of the matter is, I'm about only one thing in my rest of my life, and that's winning and winning championships. Mm-hmm. I'm maniacal. It's all I care about. That's it. And we've done really well. We've won 4 in 8 years, which is incredible. We made 6 finals in 12 years, mm-hmm. which, by the way, there was somebody else that did this as an owner, Jerry Buss. I look up to him. 33 years of ownership, 16 finals.
Wow.
So that 50% rate is a pretty, I don't know that we can continue that, but I'm sure as hell going to try. Right. And that's my goal. That's my goal, is to have this team be great.
Ultimately, the goal is to be able to be a perennial winner. You know, you can't win the championship every year, but don't you think that you and I, as Chicago sports fans, deserve better? There's no doubt that we do. I don't have to ask you. I think you and I both know that, hey, you can't win it every year, but why can't you be in the mix? Why can't you put your best foot forward? I don't understand how ownership in the city will kind of step to the side, step sideways, takes 2 steps back, take 3 steps back, and not take steps forward in order to win a championship. Why are you and I sports fans? It started maybe when you were a kid. Maybe it's from your family, like it was for me, from my dad. Watching sports, I grew to be a sports fan because of him and my family that always loved to play and watch sports. But I think the other reason why is because you want to see your favorite team get on top, and you want to see them be able to be a perennial playoff team. That's what I want to see. And so when I look at the five teams, and I push the Sky to the side because that's the last champion that we saw here, and we know that they are going to be rebuilding as they missed, they're going to be missing two or three players off the roster from last year. So that's different. The Sky conversation is different. So we put them to the side because we had a feeling that they're going to be right back up there again at some point. I trust Wade as a general manager. But when we talk about the top five teams in this city, when it comes to our baseball teams, the Cubs, the Sox, along with the Bulls, Hawks, and Bears, well, if I had to list them, if I go to number five, I'm going to the White Sox as far as teams that embody a winning mindset. The White Sox are fifth, and it's my favorite team. And the reason why is because from the tweet that we read last couple of days from Hembo, one of the producers from the Mike Greenberg Show, when he talked about the ineptitude of this White Sox team since 2013, Major League Ball Club and Minor League Ball Club, it is embarrassing. It's embarrassing. If I wanted to be an A's fan, I'd be dressed in green and gold. But I'm not an A's fan. If I want to be a Kansas City fan, I would make sure that I get myself a home in Kansas City and get me a George Brett jersey. I'm not trying to do that. I'm a White Sox fan. And whatever the perception is of the White Sox, the thing that I would make sure is I'm not last in town. I'm not dead last. I'd make sure I'm not that. But that's exactly what it is, based on the one-loss record, based on the lack of commitment from the organization to put a winner out there. For the White Sox to be in this position right now, where the door is supposed to be open for them to be in the playoffs every year, it's embarrassing. They're fifth on my list. Fourth on my list is the Chicago Bulls. And the reason why is because can you really tell the distinguishing difference between the Garpax era and what you have right now? I mean, it's one thing to commit to Zach LaVine and say, hey, we gave him the full boat. Oh, hey, he's our guy. But yeah, you did. But did you give it to a top 20 player? Did you give it to a top 25 player? Did you give it to a top 30 player? I think that's more like it. And DeMar DeRozan would be ahead of Zach LaVine in that regard. And then when you put the feet to the fire to Arturas Karnašovas, the general manager of the team. Oh, well, you know, people say we should blow it up. We should blow it up. We're not going to blow it. Okay. So what you're waiting for is Lonzo Ball to get healthy, because you're a Lonzo Ball away from being what we see every night. Terrific, solid, hard-nosed playoff basketball. Well, that's a lie. That's the problem. The lack of commitment. Same old, same old. If you just stand still, fans will just pour into the United Center because they just want a good time. That's not a business model. It has been in this city for too long, but it's not a business model to just stand still. You can't do that. Oh, well, the fans at Wrigley Field, the buses will come in from Indiana and Iowa and around the Chicagoland area. Hell, they'll just fill it up. Doesn't matter what you put on the field. That actually was the feeling for many years at Clark and Addison. But you just can't take us for granted. You can't take fans for granted, especially in 2023 where we got so many things. Hey, man, I ain't got time to go to the ballpark. I got to Netflix and chill. I'm not doing that. I'm going to do a bike ride. I'm going to take a long trip. I'm not going to be sitting here watching this. I'm not going to spend my money because we have so many more things to do. There was a time when I was growing up and as an 80s kid, when you had five or six channels, it's like, there's nothing on TV. We should go to the ballpark or just go outside and do something, right? But we didn't have that many things to do back then when I was a kid. Now in 2023, we've got so many other things that are distractions to us. So if you are a franchise, you should go all in, especially in this city, to do whatever it takes. So when I go through my top five as far as teams that embody a winning mindset, the White Sox are fifth, the Bulls are fourth, and then there's three more teams. And you say, wait a minute, Hood, you're going to say the Hawks are third? Yes, I will say the Hawks are third. Because Davidson, the general manager, put his heart out there and just said, you know what? We know what a mess this organization is. We let things go. There was some really terrible things that happened behind the scenes, and we allowed it to happen, and we're going to clean this thing up. No more Taves, no more Kane, two Hall of Famers. But at the same time, what we're going to do is that we're going to reimagine this Blackhawks team. I remember when it was terrible, when it was in the doldrums. I covered those teams, those Blackhawks teams. No home TV, 6,000 people, Johnny's, LaRue, your star. I was there for that. Jesse was there with me. We were there together. We're looking at each other like there's nobody here. Like, yeah. Yeah, because it sucks. And then Stanley Cups came. Never thought I'd see that in my lifetime. And I was a Savard guy. in the 80s. I thought that was the best hockey I'd ever see in Chicago. And then here comes Taves and Kane and Crawford and Hossa and so many others. And all of a sudden we saw three Stanley Cups. I'm glad I was able to be around to see it. But the Hawks are starting from scratch too. And I like the transparency. There are three on my list. Speaking of transparency, what about the Bears? Bears in that same boat. A Bears team that is started off and with Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren. And what did they say? Yeah, with the players that you have right now, it's not good enough. So we're going to start from scratch and we're going to build around Justin Fields. It's hard to tank and win the Super Bowl on a regular basis in this league. It's not baseball. It's not basketball where you can do that. It's football. And I think that at some point in 2024 and moving forward, the Bears should be a perennial playoff team. Just getting the playoffs and then disappearing for 3 or 4 years sucks. That's not good. To be able to get to the mountaintop and then stay there in the playoffs with a chance to win the Super Bowl, awesome. Again, 85 the last time we saw that. The Bears are going in the right direction in that regard. And the number one team on my list is the Chicago Cubs. And I know a Cub fan would probably scoff at that and say, oh, the Cubs. I mean, they got rid of all of their core pieces from the championship years. It ends up being the right thing to do. They did the right thing by saying, hey, we tried to sign Baez. We tried to sign Bryant. We tried to sign Rizzo. And they was like, nah, you know what? We're World Series champions. We'll try our luck in the free agency. And guess what? Some of those guys aren't very good. Rizzo's still good, but the rest of those guys, not so much. The Cubs could have had that sustained success even through the pandemic if they would have unplugged at the right time. The time to do that was 2018. That's not hindsight, because I was saying it on the air here at ESPN 1000 after the 18th season. I go, these guys can't hit. You got to be able to change the mix. Just because they won a World Series doesn't mean that those guys should be on your ball club for the next 5 or 6 years. I was saying it, and I'm saying it now in 2023. Not hindsight. It's just true. But notice how much money that the Cubs spent. Now, what does that money mean for 2023? I think that's you're falling short of the playoffs this year. Maybe they sneak in. Cap thinks that they're going to be able to sneak in. I don't think so. I think what is practical is to look at the ball club in 2024 and say, now, spend a little bit more money, and now here you go. You won't be in the Ohtani sweepstakes, but you can add to what the ball club already is. So, Charlie, let's open the phone lines at 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. Which teams in Chicago care the most about winning? Who best embodies a winning mindset? I gave you my list, 5 through 1. Do you have someone else on your list at number one for Chicago sports? Let's talk about that. Also, some thoughts about the Bears before we hear from Nick Friedell coming up at 9:35. Cap'n Jay Hood is on YouTube, youtube.com. Make sure you follow along with the ESPN 1000 Chicago channel and watch along as we do our show every morning, 7 to 10.
Cap'n Jay Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
And Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Thanks so much for being with us here on this Wednesday. Don't forget, tomorrow is a Deal Breakers Thursday. So we'll have fun with you on that. You never know what's going to happen on Deal Breakers. We'll get that at 8:35 tomorrow right here on ESPN 1000. My partner David Kaplan's off to a funeral, and by God, cap and a funeral, that's just a bad mix. Cap and funeral sounds like a terrible mix, because I mean, it's supposed to be solemn and nice and quiet there at graveside, and there's Cap. Did you hear about Randall Cobb? I'm just telling you, kid. David, could you keep it down, please? Could you please keep it down? Sorry.
So we bury a wonderful woman, someone who was very good to everyone. It's unbelievable.
Hey, kid, did you hear me with Connor McKnight? He's terrible. I'm just telling you.
David, please. Sorry.
I just like Sylvester Stallone as the priest you got going.
I'm just telling you. I just, it's interesting as we talk about this, the winning teams, because that's what it's about as a fan. It's about trying to not just root for a team, not just to wear their laundry. It's about looking at the opportunity for your team to be able to be on top. Now, here's the thing. You spend over $300 million in salary. You know, if you're the Chicago Cubs, and you say, well, what does that mean? Well, it means that there's a commitment there. Whatever you think of Dansby Swanson, the Cubs went all in to be able to get Dansby Swanson. Tyone, they were able to add on. It wasn't like it was during the pandemic, the whole biblical proportions and holding on to the money because of the pandemic. The Cubs, to me, have the most commitment to winning of all the teams. And I know that sounds weird coming from me as a White Sox fan, but it is true. One thing for sure, I'm always going to tell you the truth, at least my truth, and that the Cubs are there, the Bears are there, the Hawks are rebuilding, and the Bulls and the White Sox, it's ultimately the owners telling you, ultimately, that, hey, you know what? We know there's a lot of money to spend. I'm just not willing to spend it until I see signs of improvement. But how do you get signs of improvement? You know how you get that done? You get that done based on you spending money and also being able to build the right way through your farm system. And so that's why, for me, the Bulls and the Sox are dead last in that list. So we're talking to you about that. Again, who best embodies the winning mindset? You can answer our question at ESPN1000 on Twitter or on the phone lines, 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Some thoughts about the Bears as well. I was reading the Chicago Sun-Times talking about questions that I think we all have as Bears fans. We just got through the draft, which was amazing. The movement in the first round of that draft, it was incredible. But there's a couple of questions that I clipped from the Sun-Times that I want to talk to you about regarding the Bears and their future. So one of them is Roschon Johnson. So one of the questions was, my favorite pick after round one was blank. So I'll ask you, my favorite pick after round one was blank, because I think there it's pretty much a consensus that people like Darnell Wright, the offensive player, offensive lineman from Tennessee, now part of the Chicago Bears. Okay, so after round one, I'll tell you that I've been hearing so many great things about Zach Pickens, the third round pick for the Bears out of South Carolina. And the reason why I think it's important is because it's one thing to look at the offense and supply Justin Fields with everything that he needs offensively. But it's also important to find defensive tackles, defensive linemen that could be able to get to the quarterback. I can't tell you more how difficult it was to watch Bears football and watch a team without a pass rush. It was tough to watch. So I liked Zach Pickens a lot. So when the Sun-Times asked the question, my favorite pick after round one was blank, I think it's that player for me. Dexter in round two is going to be solid, but I'm just taking a flyer on Zach Pickens. And two seasons, Zach, by the way, Z-A-C-C-H Pickens from the third round. I think that he could pay dividends for the Bears. You just need help on the line. So I'm good with that. In the Sun-Times, they say Roschon Johnson, he only started five games behind Bijan Robinson, but some think that, okay, that Roschon was the favorite pick after round one. I'm not sure if I have him in that spot, but for me, it's someone on the defensive line. Another question that was asked in the Sun-Times is, what needs to do they need to address? What do they still need to address and how when it comes to the Bears? So I think they have it right when they say that the Bears need to be able to sign their own players to extensions. Well, think about the corners, right? Jalen Johnson and tight end Cole Kmet just turned 24, and Darnell Mooney is 25. All three are young and talented enough to be part of the next good Bears team. I definitely agree with that in that Cole Kmet, I believe, took another step at tight end. And is he the best tight end in the National Football League? No. Is he the best tight end in the NFC? I mean, no. But I think that he's on his way. I think that he's going to step up and do some really good things for the Bears at the tight end spot. Because I was looking for growth. I was going to say, hey, either he's going to be able to help this offense or he's a bust. And I think that Cole Kmet, he just turned 24. Why can't he be with this team for the next few years? Darnell Mooney's 25. Okay. So, again, we take a look at the best wide receivers. We talked about this in Shot or No Shot, whether or not the Bears have the best wide receivers in the NFC, NFC North. And so I can go with a shot with that, with DJ Moore and also with Darnell Mooney. Okay, I can go with that. But I like for Mooney to step up. We talk about how the pressure is on Justin Fields. I like for the pressure also to be on Darnell Mooney to, one, stay healthy, but, two, be able to be a vital cog in the offense for this Bears team. So when I look at the Bears needing to sign their own players to extensions, Jalen Johnson, I think, deserves the right to stay with this football team at corner. Cole Kmet and then Mooney at 25. All three are talented. There's no question. So the question still stands about Chase Claypool. So he's entering the last year of his deal. And I can't necessarily go all in with Chase Claypool and believe that Claypool is going to be part of the next iteration of the Bears. Here's a guy here that came from the Steelers. And of course, that gives me pause, right? If you can't play for Mike Tomlin, then what's wrong with you? If you're expendable to the Steelers, then what's wrong with you? That's my whole thing with Chase Claypool. And so Johnson, yes. Kmet, yes. Mooney, yes. But the whole thing with Chase Claypool, I'm not sure. We will find out. Now, I know what you're thinking. You might be thinking, okay, so if the Claypool thing doesn't work out, then this is Pohl's biggest mistake as general manager. And you know what? If that's the case, I'll be the first to say it. Yeah, it was a mistake. But we will see. That's what I look at with Chase Claypool. He's getting another opportunity with this football team. And so maybe he could be able to help this team. Keyshawn Johnson on KJM was talking about the Bears, saying that the Bears are not necessarily real Super Bowl contenders. He made a comment about the wide receiver as well.
When you look at the team, they got a long ways to go. Ryan Poles is doing an amazing job of trying to surround talent around a great quarterback, young, great quarterback at Justin Fields, who's still developing. It's a new coaching staff. They went out and got some pass protection for him. They drafted a couple other positions that they of need. And when you look at it defensively, they went heavy in the secondary, but they're not there yet.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons why is because it's going to take a year. As much as, and we've had calls already on this show talking about that the Bears are going to be a 10 win team based on the draft and what they've done in free agency, I'm always looking at it skeptically and saying, okay, you've been able to build through free agency and the draft so far. Now you got to see it on the field. We can make that wild projection that the Bears are going to be, 10 or 11 win team. That's not what they are, not based on its roster yet. This is why you have to be patient enough to build. And I know that people don't want to hear the P word when it comes to patience, but it does matter. You have to be able to look at this, especially the way Poles is building this. So they said, looking through this piece from the Sun-Times, they talked about what needs they need to address. And then they asked the question, have the Bears done enough to help Justin Fields? So to me, that's a big we'll see. Have the Bears done enough to help Justin Fields? Well, I think that it's yes as far as the offensive line so far, and also having DJ Moore. Remember, this deal is not necessarily sexy to me until we see DJ Moore part of that with that trade to Carolina. So did they do enough to help Justin Fields? So far, so good. But you always have to add more. You just don't stand still. If this Bears team's a 6-win team, 7-win team, guess what? The next year you add more. And I think that's only fair. One other question they asked in the Sun-Times, and they said, where do the Bears fit in the NFC North? Well, here's how I can tell you. Is Jordan Love a thing? Is Jordan Love going to be good with the Packers? Because the roster overall is not overly impressive. But the question is, what kind of jump will Jordan Love have from the bench to 7 wins, to the bench to 9 wins? If I believe that the Lions and the Vikings are the class of the NFC North, then where do the Packers fit in that? I know where the Bears are, because the Bears are not necessarily going to be in the top upper echelon of the NFC North. I think, honestly, you and I know that. The Lions are better and the Vikings are better. So where do the Bears fit in that? It smells like last. And if it's last place, I'm good with that, especially if you're going to make moves to get better for 2024. Just remember what the plan is for Poles. And just look at it practically. Is this team ready to get to the playoffs? Not yet. But where do they fit in the NFC North? Until we see what Jordan Love is, it's last. But if Jordan Love is not good and the Bears find a way to get the over 7 wins, that could be third place. Either way, it's a non-playoff team. No matter where you place them in the standings, it's a non-playoff team. We'll see what happens in 24 and 25 as the team grows and gets better, and hopefully Justin Fields will be part of their future. Coming up next, we talk about the NBA playoffs with Nick Friedell. I got a key question to ask Nick to start it off. Can you believe that Nick Friedell and Tom Thibodeau are stuck together again like they were in Chicago? Oh, boy. We'll talk to Nick about that coming up next. It's Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The White Sox won consecutive games for the first time this season with a walk-off from Andrew Benintendi. 3-2 was the score of the Twins. Andrew Benintendi, glad the club got a win.
We'll take it. No strikes, two strikes. Who cares how we get it done, but we'll take it. Just put it in play. Don't strike out. Just make a play, and hopefully find some green out there, and thank God it did. Glad we got this dub.
Sox and Twins, that's a 6-10 start right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The Cubs fell to the Nationals by a score of 4-1. Joel Embiid is the MVP of the NBA, averaged 33 points a game, 10 rebounds, and 4.2 assists. The Knicks defeated the Miami Heat by a score of 111-105 to tie their series at one game apiece. The Lakers won the first game of their playoff series against the Warriors, 117-112. Randall Cobb, a one-year deal with the Jets. Jay Moore.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
Don't forget to watch our shows on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. And Twitch this week is brought to you by Woodford Reserve, the presenting sponsor of the Kentucky Derby. With more than 200 flavor notes in every sip, Woodford Reserve is a spectacle for the senses. Please drink responsibly. I've got the bottle here. And once the campaign's over, it's going right in my bag. Oh, yes, Woodford Reserve, Kentucky Derby, 149. It's right there. The bottle's in the is in the studio with us. All of our guests are on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Nick Friedel covers the NBA for ESPN and ESPN.com, and he joins us here on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Nick.
As I was waiting to come on, my man, I was having flashbacks to the good old days of you and I being on Bulls Buzz and me calling you from some phone inside the United Center at 11:45 at night. Mm-hmm. Those were the days.
In the quiet, very quietly, of course, in a corner.
Always very quietly.
making sure that PAX was not listening as the speakers were on in the United Center with me just railing against the Bulls another night. So
Hoodie, Jimmy's not the same guy.
What? What? Say it out loud. What? So, you know, those are the good old days. There's no question about that. And I miss those dearly because that was real insight. You know, a tired Nick Friedel been on the beat for 10 hours and willing to say anything, you know. No, the daytime programs never got that. But me, I got all the juice. It was outstanding.
It always killed me how many people within the organization would listen to us that late at night. And they would always be like, yeah, you guys, you're pretty interesting.
Well, it's true. I mean, you're just telling the truth. I need to know off the top. I need to know. Again, what was it like for Tom Thibodeau to see you around his New York Knicks team as they're trying to do something here in the second round, the semifinals? What was the initial reaction for Thibs to see you in the scrum again after all your years with him with the Bulls?
Oh, Hoodie, you know he just looks at me and shakes his head. I showed up at a game in late March in Cleveland because I've started to be around the Knicks more after the Nets implosion. And he just looks like, are you serious?
Again.
here we go. And, you know, it is pretty comical all these years later. I mean, like, last night is a perfect example. I asked him after the game, I say, do you expect Jimmy to play in game 3? And he doesn't even look over at me. And he goes, you already know the answer to that. And I'm going, man, oh, man, I feel like I'm going back into a time machine here. But it is good to see the crazy man Tibbs and all the old characters because there is that respect there. And I've noticed it with Jimmy, too. And, I mean, not that I see Jimmy that often, but everybody who was in that era and who lived it every day together, there is an appreciation top to bottom of what what we all encountered and endured in those moments. So it's good to see all the old people, and certainly Chicago always is at the top of mind for everybody.
I'm interested in your thoughts on Jimmy Butler, because you saw him from the beginning to where he is right now. I've been saying a lot that Jimmy Butler would rather not score 40. I mean, he plays with a ruthless aggression. He's the embodiment of a dog on a team. I mean, will bite your face off to get a victory. He's just that tenacious. I guess my point is, like, Jimmy's going above and beyond what he would rather do, but does it surprise you what you've seen from Jimmy here in the playoffs, from a team that wasn't very good in the Heat? They were not good because they didn't shoot the ball well, to where they are right now, tied at one with the Knicks.
Surprise isn't even strong enough, Hoodie. I would say shocked, because, and you and I have been texting about this for a little while, but I was down there covering. They sent me down there to cover that Atlanta-Miami first play-in game. And the Hawks just dominated the Heat and Jimmy. And I was sitting there saying, I'm not losing this game. They got Jimmy. Because to your point, he can turn it on when he wants to. He can control the game and dominate. But that Hawks team just crushed him that night. And when I walked out of that arena, I was like, okay, well, I don't think Jimmy's losing to the Bulls. But they sure as hell are not beating the Bucks. Mm-hmm. There's no way. And so to see the transformation in a couple weeks, it's one of the craziest things I've seen since I've been covering the league, because usually, especially for teams to come in as a 7 or 8 seed, it's just over. But it shows the parity that's gotten into the NBA, and it underscores just how much of a leap that Jimmy Butler has made throughout the entirety of his career. And even in listening to Tibbs the last few days, I mean, Tibbs was honest. He said, I didn't see this coming. I mean, nobody did except for Jimmy. And going back through the old quotes and all those years I spent covering those Bulls teams, even reading back through what Jimmy said, I don't think Jimmy envisioned this, but it is always a credit to him how much hard work he poured into the moment, because he earned everything that he has gotten, and he has become the guy that nobody wants to see in the postseason.
Nick, I'm also curious about your thoughts about the Lakers and Golden State, in which we're talking about LeBron James, one of the greatest of all time, and then Steph Curry on the other side. We were talking about the greatest point guard to ever play, and now does Steph get his flowers for a guy that can shoot anywhere? We've never seen shooting like this. He's the greatest shooter I've ever seen. So how do you look at LeBron James and Steph Curry as far as their greatness? How do you classify them? Because if Curry's the best shooter that I've ever seen, and LeBron's one of the all-time greats, like who's better in that situation?
Well, I would still lean towards LeBron in that pairing, only because in the old days he was so dominant defensively too. That was always the knock on Steph's game, Hoodie, was, hey, he can shoot the lights out. He's the greatest shooter any of us have ever seen. But you can still attack him defensively. I would tell you, having been out there, cover the Warriors, especially even the last few seasons, I don't think Steph gets enough credit for how much better he's become defensively. But as far as that comparison between those two guys, I would always lean towards LeBron just because he's such a complete player. But if Steph comes back now in this series and he knocks the Lakers out and he somehow lifts this team that was so bad on the road all year back into the finals and they can win another ring, I don't see that happening, but it is possible, then that changes the conversation around, well, where do you rank him all time and where does he land? The thing that Steph has going for him that LeBron at this stage of his career I just don't believe in is Steph, Hoodie, to me, is playing the best basketball I've ever seen him play at 35. I think he can maintain this level for another year or two after this. If he does that, he keeps racking up all these numbers and they keep winning, then it's going to be an even more interesting conversation as far as point guards go. But in my mind, the separation between Michael, number one, LeBron, number two, and everybody else only grows now as the days wear by.
Are you and Max Kellerman okay? I mean, on this just in, you're laughing at the idea that James Harden leading the Sixers over the Celtics. You know, Max is very sensitive with this stuff. Are you two okay?
Oh, we're great. I mean, as soon as the light went out, honey, the other day we were talking about how the elevator in Max's apartment is broken. I mean, that's the thing that always cracks me up. Is my friends are like, oh, are you two into it? Like, is he going to talk to you again? And, like, the light goes out, and we're just talking about normal, everyday stuff. So I know that that one got a lot of traction, and Harden absolutely was awesome in game one. But the context of that whole conversation was, can Harden lead this team without Embiid and get through the Celtics, of which I would still laugh at. But Harden made me feel it on game one because he was unbelievable. I just don't buy that can happen a few more times. And it sounds like after Embiid goes through shoot around this morning, Hoodie, that he's going to be back anyway starting tonight.
No, I would have been sitting there laughing with you. Like, I mean, a great performance. He turned the clock back. That was Rockets Harden that we saw. But to expect that for seven games, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Well, you and I have watched him for too long. I mean, Harden has these great games. It's definitely possible. But then there are games when you need him to step up the most, like when there are no expectations. Hey, awesome. But when you need him, sometimes he's not there. So it's going to be fun to watch the end of that series. But no. We don't have any problems. Everything is business as usual. In fact, I think I'm supposed to go back in there in a few hours.
Oh,
so
no.
We'll have part two today.
Oh, no. Here we go. As always, my friend, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show.
I miss you, my man. I'll talk to you later.
All right, man. It is Nick Friedell, who covers the NBA for ESPN at ESPN.com. He joins us right here on Cap and Jay Hood. The Cap and Jay Hood cut of the day coming up. And don't forget, we'll crosstalk with Bleck and Abdallah coming up at 10 o'clock. It's Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
And you know this, man.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
And Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Now time for the Cap and Jay Hood cut of the day, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Oh, the best. As the temperatures get warmer, you'll be able to sit out in the patio or just be able to sit inside and look out to beautiful downtown Chicago. There's nothing like a Chicago Cut Steakhouse. David Flom, our guy. And now it's time for the cut of the day. Here's Jay Moore.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
The last thing that a Bears fan wants to hear is the P word.
No. I thought we were going someplace else.
Patience.
It's okay.
Got a little nervous over here.
I was on the jump up.
Guys, listen. We could do sports radio in social studies, or we could do it in homeroom. I prefer to do it in homeroom.
I just didn't see why fans would be afraid of the P word. That's all.
Patience. People don't want to hear about the patience.
They don't. There's pressure.
No, that's another P word. It's pressure. That's
correct.
Well, you got that right, brother. There's a lot of pressure there, too.
Right.
No question. Several P words out there. It's polls, pressure, patience. The old PPP.
That's it.
You don't want to have that if you can, right? Those things are. It's very important that if you. I don't. Now you know me. I don't do that.
People got to be careful with the PPP. Business is getting in trouble all over the city with those.
That's not what I
meant. Exactly.
That's not what I.
When you ask for PPP help, you should be legit. So make sure you're legit with your PPP.
I'm trying to establish a topic here. Please, you guys are just taking it out of context. Cap, explain it to them.
Be good with your PP.
Pete. All right. That's enough. Let's talk about the Bears.
I'm trying to, but I keep being derailed and interrupted by the kids back there.
We're just looking out for you.
That's all we're trying to do. We're just saying that those things are very important.
Just looking out for you, kid. Shay.
He's done. There's no segment there for him. No, you're supposed to talk to me about it now.
He can't participate?
No, he's out now. He's laying out on the floor.
Why?
And that's all, folks.
Proudly brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Jay Moore, I want you to explain something to me here, just for a second, as we play that Cap and Joe cut of the day. Why did Cap throw it to Shea?
He had nothing else to say, man. No, you're talking about the PPP.
You can't just throw it to him. I mean, like, there was no segment there. He just that was the 9 o'clock hour. That was not shot or no shot. He just throw it. Well, anytime that he just is done, he's like, just throw it to Shea. Here's Shea Norley.
Hey, when you don't have anything to say, just kick it to somebody else.
That's not right. That's not right. Today, Charlie Bevins, today is National Two Different Colored Shoes Day. Slow day. Two different colored shoe days. Do you have two shoes that you would wear different colors in that you think you could rock?
I think so. I got a few different kinds of Jordan 1s. I'd probably do like the UNC blue on one foot and then just like the classic colorway on the other.
Now, you see, there's nothing wrong with that. Especially, okay, now what about the outfit, though? I mean, so what color outfit are you going to? You going hoodie? You going T-shirt in that spot?
I think hoodie, black jeans. I think keep it simple, keep it classic.
And by the way, because it's 2023, no one would look at you differently if you have two different color shoes on, especially if the fit match.
Yeah, I would just call it streetwear.
Yeah.
Now, if you come in with some Stacey Adams.
Two different Stacey Adams. Now, people will say something wrong with you, right? You can't step with two different Stacey Adams.
You can't diss Stacey, man.
No, you can't do that. So I think that is something. I will do that one day, but the fit's got to be right. And by the way, speaking of fits, the whole thing with the you know what we didn't talk about? We didn't talk about the Met Gala. We didn't talk about that.
Oh yeah.
So I'm thinking that James Harden wore that outfit before game one for the Met Gala. I mean. And it's a weird thing because I've talked to agents and people that represent athletes, and it's like, yeah, whatever's hanging up in their closet, it's already ready. Here's Tuesday. Here's Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And they don't think twice about it. Like Russell Westbrook, whatever you think of what he wears and James Harden, I show my wife this all the time. Like, hey, look at what I just sent her the video, and she goes, so what's his story?
Like, hey.
I mean, seriously, she wants to know because she's not a sports fan, but she wonders like what's with the fit, right? So I'm thinking that outfit was like Met Gala. That's why James Harden wore that. The oversized jeans.
Yeah.
SGA was there. He was actually at the Met Gala, I'm pretty sure. Shea Gildas-Alexander.
Yeah, the Currys were there too.
What?
I don't know why Shea Gildas-Alexander was at the Met Gala. Well,
I
mean,
I know why, because he wasn't busy. That's why.
That's a good point.
I mean, that's the, but just the idea that you'd wear that those gaudy outfits. I mean, if someone's going to pay you to wear them, that's it. But still, just like those jeans, Jay Moore, is just way too much.
I'm sure you tripped in the parking lot. No one saw it.
Sorry. Damn. My bad. We thank you for listening and calling and being part of the program here on Cap'n Jay Hood. Our thanks to Charlie and our thanks to Jay Moore on the other side of the glass. Stick around. We'll crosstalk with Black and Abdallah, followed by Carmen and Yurko. Robbie Gold. We love Robbie Gold, right? From 2 to 5:30. Gold along with Sylvie and then White Sox baseball as the Sox take on the Twins. For Cap, I'm Jay Hood. Cap, let's do this tomorrow. Yeah, let's do it tomorrow. Deal Breakers Thursday. Take that. So long, everybody. Take that. From Chicago.